Well, good morning, and away we go. It is Wednesday here on My Car Guru as we have reached the middle of the week, and we say hello to the car guru, Lenny Lawson. Hey, Lenny.
We are soon approaching my trip to Amelia Island to the Concours d'Elegance.
That's later this month, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Amelia Island, Florida. So I'm not looking forward to the drive. I don't like driving on I-95.
Now, that's in the northern part of Florida on the
coast,
right?
It is. Yeah. It's just north of Jacksonville.
Okay, yeah.
And there's this beautiful resort there. Well, it's, you know, just a really diverse island. It's one of the things I like about Amelia is that it's got a little town on it called Fernandina Beach.
Okay, yeah. I'm familiar with that.
It's just a cute, quaint little cool shopping area and really good restaurants and a little marina down at the end with a nice restaurant at the end. We always dine there, and there's a little Italian restaurant that we eat at one night along the strip. But yeah, that's where the Ritz-Carlton is the hotel. That's typically a fancy hotel. And so this one does not disappoint. We normally get a condo just right there along the beach, and we arrange to stay. They're able to imagine the pricing jump. It's like they triple the normal rental during Amelia Island Concours week. How dare they?
Is that like gouging in a way?
How dare they charge more than retail, more than MSRP for a condo just because they can? You know, there's a lot of that goes on. We talked yesterday about the Kia Telluride, you know, how dealers are charging anywhere from $18,000, $20,000 over MSRP for that vehicle because it's in such high demand. Oh, but they are just the devil incarnate, or incarnate. So anyway, a lot of people do that, right? When a product is in high demand, typically the price goes up. Yep. So it's not a sin, it's just business, as they say.
Law of supply and demand.
Hey, make sure that you cancel your extended warranty when you trade cars or if you sell your car. You know, a lot of folks, when they buy a new car, they'll sometimes they just go, it's like going under anesthesia, and they buy everything coming. You know, they buy extended warranty, gap insurance and all this other stuff. And also, find out when you sign up for these things, make sure that they are cancelable. And what is the term? What are the terms of the cancellation? So, you know, is there a cancellation fee? You know, also find out, is the loan that you're signing up for, does it have a prepayment penalty? Because sometimes, you know, you get a little money in, you get a little bit bigger tax refund than what you thought, and you say, I think I'm going to pay this thing off, you know, so you, or you sell some property, whatever, you come into some money. Grandma dies and gives you $1 million. So what do? Well, you go in and pay it off, and they say, well, there's a $250 prepayment penalty. Well, I only owe $500 on it. Too bad, you know.
Now you owe $750.
Yeah. So also extended service contracts, you call them extended warranty, just a service contract. Make sure those are cancelable, and what are the terms of the cancellation? So I'm not saying don't buy an extended warranty because, goodness, it does cost a lot when something breaks, and I've seen them pay off for a lot of people. I've also seen people buy warranties, extended warranties, and never use them.
Yeah.
No, anyway, it's basically a gamble. I mean, the insurance company that's offering the warranty is betting that you will not have any issues with your car, and you're betting that you will. And that's why you lay out the money. It's all a big gamble, right? And people say they don't gamble, right? They bet all the time, right? That's why you buy life insurance. So anyway, the cancellations are sometimes forgotten. People have an extended warranty, and they trade cars, and they forget it's there. And so they leave like $1,000 laying on the table. It can be, you know, some of these warranties are $3,000-$4,000, you know, for a high-end car. And if you forget you have it, guess what? Nobody's going to knock on your door and say, hey, you want to cancel this?
Yeah.
You know.
It's up to you.
And you probably financed it with your loan as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you still owe money on the car, the cancellation goes to the lender, doesn't come to you. Now, sometimes when you trade cars, the dealership will ask you if you have any cancellations on your previous loan, because sometimes you need that money for down payment, and they'll help facilitate that. Mm-hmm. But you just got to make sure that that happens. Also, watch out for dealers who pad your loan request. And why would they do such a thing? We'll talk about that right after the break.
We're back here, and it's My Car Guru for a Wednesday morning. Padding your loan, huh?
Yeah, the loan request. I'll get to that here in just a second. First, I did want to mention that if you own a 2013 through 2015 Honda Accord, they are being investigated after 107 reports of a loss of steering control during driving under normal conditions. The probe, which covers 1,120,000 Honda Accords, could culminate in a recall if the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration decides it is warranted. Sounds like it's warranted to me.
Sounds like it. What years again? What models?
2013 through 2015. You know, a lot of Honda Accords are sold.
Yeah.
You know, so that's three full model years of Accords. And, you know, you could actually call the dealership and possibly find out if it is covered. But that's a pretty serious thing, losing your steering. That gets your attention.
I'd say it's pretty serious.
Ford is coming out. You remember the hot rod Ford truck that we used to have? It was called the Lightning.
Vaguely.
Vaguely?
Yeah, I don't remember.
Is that tickling the memory banks a little bit?
Yeah, a little bit.
Okay. Well, that's what they're going to call their new electric pickup. Isn't that appropriate?
The Lightning?
The Lightning. It's the new all-electric F-150 is going to be revealed on May 19th and will go on sale in the middle of the year if they can find the chips to make it, which is doubtful at this point. But it's being unveiled on Ford's social media channels on Wednesday, May 19th at 9:30 p.m., so don't go to bed early, because you're going to want to see this electric truck.
That's a week from today.
And this will be called the F-150 Lightning.
How about that?
Yep. So Ford is, you know, we've got the new Bronco is coming. I've been seeing a lot of the Bronco Sports on the road. Have you noticed?
I've noticed a few, yeah.
Yeah? Yeah. You know, I see that coming, and I'm thinking, is that a Land Rover? No, it's a Bronco.
It's a Bronco. It says so right on the grill there.
Yeah. All right, let's get to the subject that I led off with. So if you've got a going to a car dealership and you're a payment buyer, and they figure that out pretty early on, and so they know that okay, we got to find out what this person's credit is like so we can see what they can buy. Let's say that you've given them some indications that you may not have really good credit.
Mm-hmm.
So they gather information. You know, really, a car dealer doesn't want to go through a bunch of effort to sell you a vehicle that you can't buy. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? That you really can't afford?
Right.
You know, lots of people come into the dealership and they say, well, ooh, I want that Mustang. You know, they come in and they've built them online and they've gone through, they've gotten real excited. You know, they've cut out pictures and put them on their bedroom wall and stuff like that. And they're really excited about buying this car. But they don't have any money down. Mm-hmm. They got a 550 Beacon score.
Mm-hmm.
And they can't afford any more than $450 a month. All right, so they come in, they want the Mustang, but guess what? They can't have the Mustang.
They probably need to leave with a Versa or something.
Yeah,
like that.
And probably will. Mm-hmm. Because most of the time folks come in to buy a car, they're determined to buy a car,
mm-hmm.
which is the wrong kind of attitude to have. You need to do what's right for you, and sometimes making a decision on that very day is a bad decision. So anyway, so you could have that scenario, or you could just have a person who's got good credit, but they want to finance, all right? So here's what the unscrupulous dealer will do. They will go ahead and take the credit application, and they go into their system, and they load it into, and I'm not going to go into all the different ways that a bunch of different banks get the information about you, but this is what happens. They load the information, and then the dealership selects the banks that they want to get your information. And so they send that out, and they wait for an approval. You know, sometimes the approvals are instantaneous. The light turns green on the screen right beside that bank mm-hmm. name, and you were approved as called.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they have to, you get a caution light, okay, and they say, well, we need to talk about this before we approve this customer. There may be some stipulations, or the bank may say, a flat turn down,
mm-hmm.
and then you can still call and try to negotiate with the bank to try to get things done. So you've got an approval, you've got a caution, and you've got a turn down. Well, what you don't realize is the dealer asked for more money than you needed on your deal. Now, they should not do this,
no.
Okay? But there are some unscrupulous dealers around that do that.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason they're doing that, they're padding the approval. So let's say that you really only needed $18,000 in order to buy this car.
Mm-hmm.
They get an approval for $22,000. Mm-hmm. What's that extra $4,000 for? That's so they can pack your payment.
Mm-hmm.
That's so that they can sell you an extended warranty and all these other aftermarket products, you know, wheel and tire protection, dent ding protection, all this other junk that you may or may not need, but you certainly don't know about. So they've already got it approved so that they can sell you a bunch of stuff in the finance office. And then when they quote you the payment, they say, and by the way, this payment includes you're covered for 6 years or 100,000 miles. And if you're in a wreck or your vehicle's stolen, if your vehicle's totaled or if your vehicle's stolen and you owe more on your car than it's worth, then this gap insurance is already included in here to pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the only problem with that whole approach is that it's illegal. It's against federal law. This is not against, you know, state franchise laws or Motor Vehicle Commission advertising rule. This is against the law, and people go to jail for this,
mm-hmm.
but it's being done every day. And, you know, I don't know how a consumer could find out. You could say when you go into finance, now, how much money am I going to need to borrow? $18,000. Then when you call my loan in, that's all I want. Don't get anything approved any more than $18,000.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll look at you and say, okay, that's a weird request. But then they go to the sales manager and say, hey, Joe, my customer knows that he only needs $18,000. He doesn't want you to apply for any more than $18,000 on the mm-hmm. loan. And Joe's going to say, I wonder how they knew how to do that. And they're going to say, well, I think they listened to some radio show. I think it's called The Car Guru.
Mm-hmm.
Some AM station, you know, some irrelevant AM station in the Tri-Cities. That's how they learned that. Oh, okay. Well, we'll have to have him killed. No, that doesn't happen. But anyway, this is just something that another way that folks bite off more than they can chew. Payment packing is an issue in the industry. Sonic Automotive, Bruton Smith's dealerships that he owns all the racetracks, you know, Bristol Motor Speedway and Tech. His hand got slapped and people went to jail for just that, you know, for selling people products they didn't know they were buying. And this is all in the interest of making each transaction more profitable. You know, over the years, the markup on cars has dropped from around 21% to around 6-7%. So the margins aren't there. And then when you have a highly competitive environment, unlike right now, where you've got a lot of dealers going after very few customers, you know, a lot of extra inventory that the manufacturers are trying to cram down our throats and that we have to get sold, that's when these behaviors arise.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when you sell a car and you're losing $1,000 on the car itself, then you've got to make that up somewhere, or some dealers, you know, attempt to. And then that's when all this bad behavior takes place. So you just got to watch. And I guess the most important thing a person can do is, if they are a payment buyer, just don't focus strictly on the payment. Make sure that the selling price, the trade value, and the interest rate and so forth are correct. And then anything else, make sure that you get a full explanation for it before you buy it.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
It makes sense to me.
All right. Well, we'll take another break, and we'll be back here in just a minute.
All right. And we're back here for the final few minutes of My Car Guru on this middle of the week, Wednesday edition.
Did you watch Ford versus Ferrari?
Many times. Christina has probably watched that movie, I'm going to guess, 125 times.
Really?
No kidding. I haven't watched it that many times, but I've...
So she's got a problem then.
Well,
is it Matt Damon?
Is no, that... she just likes the movie. Really? She just really
So what is it she likes about it? The interaction of the characters.
Well, she likes driving fast. She likes racing. She likes that kind of stuff. And she's just fascinated by the story. I've probably seen it fully through 8 to 10 times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there's when it comes to car development, obviously you don't just design something on paper, screw it together, and then go racing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole lot of stuff that happens in between. You know, they were on such a fast timetable mm-hmm. that they had to really accelerate the testing, and they had to get, you know, not the best engineering minds. You know, it couldn't happen without Carroll Shelby and his team.
Mm-hmm.
It also couldn't have happened without Ford Motor Company and their resources, you know, the money that mm-hmm. they pumped into the program. You know, and they had two teams at the same time working on that. You know, they had Carroll Shelby, and then they had the, what was the other team that did that? It wasn't Haas. It was another NASCAR team that developed a bunch of cars.
Mm-hmm.
And the name escapes me. But it was the whole, most of that movie was about getting the car ready, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about the interactions between them. There's a lot of different testing that takes place before a car hits the market. And I was thinking about the Mach-E, for example. You know, Ford's been working on that electric Mustang Mach-E for some time now and has developed a winner. I mean, I could have sold 10 of them if I could just get them. You know, what right now the only one that we have that's available is the demo model that we have.
Mm-hmm.
And so they are, again, it's another restricted vehicle because of the chip shortage, but you know, the car has been thoroughly tested in all different types of climates. You know, they've proven, for example, that it's going to use more battery power when it's cold, you know, than when it's mm-hmm. hot. You know, your driving range is going to be affected. I mentioned that I started to drive the Mach-E to Cincinnati this past weekend, and I decided against it because I couldn't find enough DC charging stations, you know, level 3, which has the fastest charge.
Right.
So I wasn't going to risk that. You know, I've been testing that car. When dealers get cars, when consumers finally do get cars, they are guinea pigs of sorts. I mean, that's what happens over time as cars develop problems, warranty work is done to those vehicles to repair problems. The cars get better and better and better. You know, I always heard you never buy a first-year General Motors car
mm-hmm.
because they were always problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably true with just about any manufacturer, is the first year of an all-new vehicle is probably not the best time to buy it. You know, I look at the Nissan Frontier. This is the last year of the current body style Nissan Frontier. It's basically the same vehicle with the exception of the engine and transmission,
mm-hmm.
which is new. But everything else in that vehicle was developed around 2003, 2004.
Mm-hmm.
The first model year was 2005. But a lot of this development takes place. An interesting place where some development is done is at the Bonneville Salt Flats. Have you ever heard of the Bonneville Salt Flats?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's where all the world speed records are broken. If you want to run a car and see how fast it'll go in a straight line, or a rocket ship of a car, is you go to Bonneville to do it. At the most recent World of Speed event, a modified 2019 Volkswagen Jetta, just a common everyday car, right,
mm-hmm.
hit a speed of 210 miles an hour.
Really? Wow. Hmm.
It beat the previous record for its class of 208 miles an hour. This, of course, was no ordinary Jetta. It featured some serious upgrades to get its 600 horsepower rating, including a turbocharged 2-liter engine that was thoroughly worked over. VW removed all of the essential interior components to reduce the car's weight, which is common with race cars. It modified the suspension. It improved its traction with limited slip differential and a set of wheels. But this is what where a lot of cars go to test their limits.
Mm-hmm.
I can guarantee you that the all-new Corvette, the all-new Ford Mustang GT 500, you know, a lot of cars like that are being modified so that they can run at Bonneville to see just how fast they can go. And so much of speed is determined by aerodynamics, really as much or more than engine power. And so typically, to have a special event like this, you have to have 25 miles of timing wire. Now, this is just to go out there. 1,000 traffic cones. You have to have steel girders to smooth down imperfections in the salt. It takes a team of about 40 volunteers for setup, and it costs $20,000 a day to cover the cost of testing a car at Bonneville. So it's not cheap, but it's a very common thing to do for modern sports cars and such. So anyway, thank you, Bonneville, for breaking all the helping us break the speed records on this. I don't know what the top speed record is, but I think it's in close to 1,000 miles an hour.
Yeah. All right, that'll do it for My Car Guru on this Wednesday morning, and we will talk with you again tomorrow morning.